Stephen Jill here.
Hi.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show. Entertaining land investment talk. I'm Stephen Jack Putella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about, are you a failure?
I would love to know who sought out this topic and like, oh, I got to hear what this is. Besides us. When I saw this title, I said, well, I got to see what this is. This is good.
You know what sentence Jill just said right before we started the show?
Oh.
I have a lot of hair and a lot of boobs. And my immediate thought was, that immediately makes you not a failure.
I can't believe you shared that. That's exactly what I said. Thanks so much.
Everything's fair game in the studio.
Oh my gosh, yes. Don't hold back.
So, if you're in the same shoes that Jill's in, you can turn the show off because you're not a failure. Plus, yikes. You can talk on the phone and you have a huge, awesome balance sheet.
I didn't know where you were going with a huge, awesome. But you know, you have some huge, awesome things about
That's
you also.
Awesome. Like my personality?
It is. It's your smile.
Wow, they're just doing anyone.
Your willingness to help. Your open, your door always open attitude.
I wonder what our staff really says. Like,
exactly.
I'm not going to talk to him.
Don't make dad mad. Yeah,
don't I'm go not, talk to him. I'll flip it. You for it. How about we just do it our way and see what happens?
You know what
That's
do?
Really what I think
it's like,
happens.
Throw it in and run.
Yep.
It's like, I bet they do that. I'm sending the email at 4:55. Boom, gone.
First, I got kicked out of the office. Then I got kicked out of the office building. And I'm actually next week on my way to having to work at home now full time.
Yes. It's not
because they just
thing.
Don't want us. They don't want me there any longer.
That's not true.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. Well, and it's totally okay.
It's just different.
It's totally fine. It's you know, every guy my age that's listening to this completely understands what I'm talking about.
Okay.
And every woman who's listening to this is disgusted by it.
It's like when I first went into the office, it was you years ago, you, Skylar, and another person whose first initial starts with an M. And there was no laughing, no talking.
Yeah.
Then I'm like, what's going on here?
Yeah, really that was
kinda,
really out of your
Yeah, really kind of serious. And I'm like, this is like, do you guys do anything for fun? It's like, it's not supposed to be fun.
That was a lot 10 years ago.
I guess it was.
And it got less fun since then.
What? That's not true.
Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
I miss that office on the lake. It was good.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. Dustin asks, I have a serious buyer on a 5-acre property in Texas asking me if it comes with mineral rights. They would like the mineral rights. They said if the property doesn't come with mineral rights, they would like to know how to get the mineral rights, even if they buy the property without them. The deed that I received at the closing through title company doesn't mention anything specific about mineral rights. It just has a clause in it stating, quote, this conveyance is subject to all reservations, restrictions, and assessments affecting the subject property, end of quotes. I just call the county recorder and ask them if the property has retained the mineral rights. If the mineral rights are not currently attached to the property and my buyer would like to get them after buying the property from me, then what would be the process they would have to go through to get the mineral rights?
Mineral rights are they're this elusive concept, and they're all associated with individual properties. So there's no place you can go. There's no database, there's no website, and there's nobody that... this is not very, very, very difficult to attain. Why? Because the railroads went through in the 1800s and 1900s and bought a ton of property, the mining companies did, and the only way you can see who owns mineral rights is to go to the county and sit down, physically sit down, go through all the deeds, every single deed until the time of homestead.
Yeah.
Is that realistic? No, because there's fires and all kinds of stuff happens. So chances are, even title companies only go back, what, 30 years?
Usually 30 to 40.
So what you're looking for is you're basically auditing the chain of this property to see where someone may have physically deeded in the deed that says we convey this property to the new guy, but we get to retain the rental rights.
Right.
And so if you go back all the way back and for some reason you got all the deed documents right in front of you and none of it says that, chances are you can get the mineral rights.
Right.
Chances are you own the mineral rights automatically just by conveying the deed. So it's very convoluted, and it's kind of like a private investigator thing.
It is.
So I would do a huge Google search and figure it out. But for your purposes, yes, I would go back to your seller and explain to them what I just said, right. Some version of it.
Exactly. It's very rare, because this country is as old as it is, let's just call it that, you know, that the mineral rights still are sitting with the property. So, and what we usually do, like for us, for our business, is we just say we're selling, it's the surface really, not the mineral rights. They could dig, the seller could dig too. By the way, you could still do it and the seller could go dig. That's which is probably what I would do. I would make it really clear to the buyer that, look, as far as I know, you do not have the mineral rights. If there's something in there, yippee-ki-yay, that's great. What you need to do, that if you really want the land, regardless, you know, I'm happy to sell it to you, I'm pricing it as such, so it's still a great deal. And then if you want to go back and dig, here's how you need to do it, and you know, maybe point them in the right direction and let them go do that work. So
in reality, that's the academic answer. The real answer is when somebody finds out there's something under that's worth it, then usually what's down there is worth way, way more than paying everybody off. To getting to everyone to sign a release who's alive.
True.
It's kind of an adverse possession thing. So that's what starts the process, the fact that you found oil under there or something, that some type of mineral that is worth, makes it all worth it.
That's funny.
It's interesting too. My first question is, why do these people want the mineral rights so bad?
It doesn't usually come up very often. I swear there's a certain mindset, maybe age, maybe whatever, that they think of these things. Most of us don't think about it. We just want a pretty property. I can put a cabin on it and enjoy it with my family.
We're in the surface rights business,
exactly.
By the way. Not the mineral rights business.
Not the mineral rights. I'm not buying this 40 acres in Texas because I'm going to go put, I'm going to, you know, get out my metal detector.
Jill and I had a cabin up in Crown King, Arizona for years. And Crown King is famous. It's a mining town, a silver mining town. And they have 68 full-time residents there, two of which were not included in that count because we weren't full-time. And we would walk into the bar there and hear all these stories of people mining, the people that live there, these old-timers, mining all over the place. And none of them owned any mineral rights to anything. Right. But they found gold and silver mines, and they were living off of that. So are those stories true based on how they were dressed and what they were drinking? No, they're not true at all, but... And the fact that they haven't shaved in probably two or three decades.
That's right. And they haven't showered in a week.
But, you know, I think these are the kinds of things that go on in reality.
That's funny.
More than like, hey, I own the mineral rights to that property.
I think usually this comes up because someone somewhere heard something like, oh, make sure you get the mineral rights.
Yeah,
they don't even know what they're talking about half the time, but they just know they need to ask for it.
Exactly.
Like, okay.
Today's topic, are you a failure? This is the meat of the show.
Well, this sounds like... Sounds like the children's book. Are you my mother? Right?
It does sound like that.
Are you a failure?
Jill and I decided right before the show that this is nothing. This is not negative.
No.
It's not negative at all. In fact, you should never even be asking your question. This is what I think.
No.
If you think this at all, it's because you're not trying hard enough, or somebody's been telling you this and you got to undo that. Because buying and selling real estate, especially land, like how we do it, is ridiculously easy if you just put your mind to it.
Is it my turn?
Yeah. That's my whole show.
Well, there we go. That's funny. So my thought when I read this topic was, you're only a failure if for two things, and I mean this in life, not just what we do. Number one, if you don't even try, you don't even put yourself out there and go for whatever it is. And I hate to use the word failure. You know me, I'm not a negative person. I like to be a positive person. But That's number one. And number two, not so much failure, more kind of a ding dong. If you don't learn from your mistakes. So those are the two things for me that I have trouble with. And like, if you worked for us, let's just say, and if you didn't try and do some things and I'm helping you and you're coaching
try new stuff.
Yeah. And learn some things. I'd have a problem with that because we're not growing, you know, as a company and you as a person and everything. And then also, if you don't learn from your mistakes, if you keep repeating the same thing over and over again, you can't take a step back and do whatever it takes to not repeat a mistake. I have a problem with that.
There's a huge difference between being a failure and failing at some tasks. When I started in this business a real long time ago in the 90s, I had a very difficult time conveying property. From a deeds standpoint, the paperwork part of this thing tripped me up really good. And for most people, that's an easy part.
Right.
But for some reason, these conveyance documents were tough for me. And I was doing a lot of business in Mojave County, Arizona back then. And they would just kick them back to me. Kick them back. Every single one would come back, like to the point where I'm sure they were laughing about it.
Like, did they just see your return address come in and go, I can't wait to see what he
probably
said us this time.
I mean, I don't know how bad it was, but in Mojave, they were really cool about it. They're like, all you got to do is a corrective deed. And they, you know, she called me and told me, this is way before YouTube and all that business. But she's like, this is all you do is it's what's called a corrective deed. And they showed me how. And eventually we got it straight.
Yeah.
But I didn't sit around and like say, you know what? I'm a failure at this, and there's just a bunch of errors in these deeds all
and
the time.
And I can't do it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And you just kept going.
No. What I did was I did? My innate first reaction was to that and just about everything else. Okay. This is not my thing. So what I need to do is locate as much property as I can and resell it to make so much money that I can hire somebody to do all this stuff. And that's what I did.
Perfect.
And then I hired another person and another person. So eventually all I'm doing is what I do now is just the mailers.
Yeah.
And creating new products.
That's perfect.
For members. So that's my whole point here. You're not a failure.
No.
You may have failed at some stuff. You know, you might not be the best student in the world. So what?
That's okay.
Yeah.
As long as you just keep trying, just keep going at it. You know, that's my thing. Don't stop. Failure to me, too, is just standing still and giving up. You know, and I hate this word failure. I'm sorry. This is really hard for me to have this talk because I feel like I'm being so hard. But sometimes people need to hear it, though, too. If you stand still and do nothing, you know, you're missing out. And you have nothing to lose going for whatever it is.
A lot of years ago, there was this business person called, his name was Ross Perot. If you're my age, you know exactly who I'm talking about. He's kind of like the Warren Buffett back then. And somebody asked him,
Texas guy.
Yeah, he did an interview one time and somebody asked him, what's the difference between somebody who's successful and not? And he said, when somebody doesn't know that they've been beat, that's the guy I want to work with. Where they just keep going. They didn't know they were beat 2 weeks ago on this thing. And they just keep moving forward. Why is it so funny?
Because it sounds like me. Like,
yeah, it does.
I'm barreling through.
We're both like that.
Exactly. Yeah.
And everybody's rolling their eyes behind us going, yeah, you know, these guys don't know that this is over for them.
Oh, you know what's funny is we prove them wrong half the time or more than half the time. I don't know how to stop. I will get that deal done. You know, kind of thing. Watch me. Like this one I talked about yesterday. Oh, you just wait. The door's open with this guy. Just wait.
Yeah. Hey, we know your time's valuable. Thanks for spending some of it with us today anyway. Join us next time for the episode called Member J.T. Olmsted Shares Land Academy Success Stories.
And we answer your questions posted on our online community at landinvestors.com. It's free.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition.
That's good.
Do you have some announcements?
I'm sorry. It's like, I have a hard time with these.
I know you do.
I don't like saying failure, bad, and, you know, just negative things.
When I met Jill, she was like the spiritual positive person. And I was constantly saying positive things, and it's all gone downhill from there.
What? Thanks a lot.
I know this is out of your realm of comfort, Jill, and that's one of the reasons that I like you so much.
Thank you.
That you are such a positive person no matter what.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. But someone has to offset that, and I'm the perfect person for that.
Yes, you are. I'm so lucky. Yin and yang. Wherever you're watching or wherever you're listening, please subscribe and rate us there.
We are Steve and Jill. information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.